Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow, I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow, I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading
Welcome to one of the most exotic places on Earth, the rainforest. Giant trees tower overhead, and birds, black leopards, turtles, and all kinds of monkeys live together in this tropical environment. So, where is this rainforest? Africa? Costa Rica? Borneo? No, it's inside of a building in New York City. It's called Jungle World at the Wildlife Conservation Park, Bronx Zoo. This jungle is completely man-made, designed and built by people to be just like a tropical rainforest. Hi, Noreen.
Hi, LeVar.
This is my friend Noreen. She's a science teacher here with the Wildlife Conservation Society, and she knows all about the animals and their habitats here in Jungle World. So, Noreen, tell me about where we are now. What is this place?
This is a very specialized habitat. It's called the mangrove swamp. These monkeys are called proboscis monkeys, and they come from the island of Borneo, which is in Southeast Asia.
Uh-huh. So this is exactly like a mangrove forest that they would find
exactly.
At home.
It sure is.
And you handcrafted the trees so the monkeys would have what they need. Cool. But how'd you know what to make?
Well, they're so active climbing and moving around through those swamps, foraging and looking for their food.
Mm-hmm.
We had to give them good, strong, and yet flexible branches. And we made these highways. See how the branches interlock?
Yeah.
Like aerial highways,
right.
So they can travel through them, never having to come down to the ground if they choose not to.
Wow, these guys are fun to watch. And check out their noses, those big, long snouts. That's what proboscis means, right? Noreen, what are these animals?
These are Malayan tapirs, and they come from Asia.
So that looks like a pretty recent delivery here, this baby tapir.
Today's his birthday, 2 weeks old today.
Wow. And his coloration?
Well, that color is a special camouflage that will fade and turn into the black and white adult color as he gets older. It's just so that he can hide from predators while his mother forages for food.
What kind of environment do tapirs live in? What home did you create for them here?
What we have here is a riverbank. They love to dwell near the rivers on the soft, sandy banks.
So where are we now, Maureen?
Isn't this great?
This is great.
Well, this is the habitat of the silverleaf langur, a special kind of monkey that only eats plants
uh-huh.
in the Asian rainforest.
Wow, this place is huge. And there's a whole troop of langurs living here. I know it's man-made, but this environment looks so real. Noreen, what do the langurs need that you've provided for them here?
They need a big amount of space, lots of tall, tall trees, just like in the rainforest. They also need these beautiful vines we call lianas to climb on. These monkeys are active. Uh-huh. They swing, they climb, they teach their babies to climb right here in this exhibit.
Well, they seem to be right at home. This is an incredibly complex habitat. Where are we now?
This is my favorite of all. We're on a mountain.
Uh-huh.
And we're right alongside a river with a waterfall right there at the end.
Beautiful.
Here in this habitat, there's an animal right over there that looks kind of like a crocodile.
Right.
But it's not. It's called a gharial.
A gharial.
That's right.
Tell me about the water system that you have here at Jungle World. Because I notice a lot of the habitats include water, but this has to be constantly fresh water coming in.
Yes, it does. You see, nature has a beautiful recycling system, and it cleanses itself.
Mm-hmm.
But here, in this habitat that we've created for these animals, we need to keep it clean for them.
Noreen, isn't that bird in danger over there?
Absolutely not. That bird is perfectly safe. Those gharials don't eat birds. They only eat fish.
Ah.
LeVar, take a look at that bird right over there. Do you see it?
Wow, look at that.
Isn't that neat? That's a northern pied hornbill. Now, that hornbill really needs to use those lianas, too, those vines, just like the monkeys do.
You know, Noreen, it really seems to me that you people here have a real feeling for these animals, a great love for what it is you do.
You certainly do. And you know, it's not just the love for animals, LeVar. All of us, each and every one of us, the researchers, the scientists, the educators like myself, we all want to educate people and tell them about what's happening in nature.
So the idea is if people can come here and experience the value in the rainforest and the life that lives in it, then they'll be moved to want to save it, to want to help.
They are our future. The people are our future. They're the ones that can make or break what happens to this planet. You're right.
As you can see, making a home for animals is complicated. You have to create a whole environment to give them what they need. And that's what Brian found out in this book, The Salamander Room.
The Salamander Room by Ann Mazur. Illustrated by Steve Johnson. Read by Lynn Thigpen. Brian found a salamander in the woods. It was a little orange salamander that crawled through the dried leaves of the forest floor. The salamander was warm and cozy in the boy's hand. "Come live with me," Brian said. He took the salamander home. "Where will he sleep?" his mother asked. "I will make him a salamander bed to sleep in. I will cover him with leaves that are fresh and green and bring moss that looks like little stars to be a pillow for his head. I will bring crickets to sing him to sleep and bullfrogs to tell him good night stories." "And when he wakes up, where will he play?" I will carpet my room with shiny wet leaves and water them so he can slide around and play. I will bring tree stumps into my room so he can climb up the bark and sun himself on top. And I will bring boulders that he can creep over. He will miss his friends in the forest. I will bring Salamander friends to play with him. They will be hungry. How will you feed them? I will bring insects to live in my room. And every day, I will catch some and feed the salamanders. And I will make little pools of water on top of the boulders so they can drink whenever they're thirsty. The insects will multiply, and soon there will be bugs and insects everywhere. I will find birds to eat the extra bugs and insects. And the bullfrogs will eat them too. Where will the birds and bullfrogs live? I will bring trees for the birds to roost in and make ponds for the frogs. Birds need to fly. We can lift off the ceiling. They will sail out in the sky, but they will come back to my room when it's time for dinner, because they will know that the biggest, juiciest insects are there. But the trees, how will they grow? The rain will come through the open roof, and the sun too. And vines will creep up the walls of my room, and ferns will grow under my bed. There will be big white mushrooms and moss like little stars growing around the tree stumps that the salamanders climb on. And you, where will you sleep? I will sleep on a bed under the stars, with the moon shining through the green leaves of the trees. Owls will hoot, and crickets will sing. And next to me, on the boulder with its head resting on soft moss, the salamander will sleep.
Usually, nature provides everything animals need to live. But when you create the habitat, you have to provide it. So, how do you make a jungle? Well, first, you need trees. And there are lots of them here at Jungle World, but only some of them are real. This huge kapok tree was completely made by hand. The bark, branches, everything was created. Back in 1981, these steel structures became trees when artists plastered cloth and gooey glue on them, and rolled and etched and scratched the doughy surface to make them look like real trees. The branches had to look right too, so epoxy was padded and rubbed onto every inch of the tree. This man even painted an imitation fungus right onto the bark. But what about that huge fallen tree trunk? It looks like that just happened, right? Wrong. A big fake log was put there by the creators of Jungle World because lots of trees fall like that in the rainforest. And see that person up on the ladder? He added some real plants that would take root and grow there. But if the trees are man-made, what about the vines? Well, they look authentic, but the vines are works of art too.
And look how they were made. Strands of rope were coated with rubber and padded down to give just the right texture. In the real jungle, nature twists the vines. But here, artists had to do their own twisting.
And the monkeys just love them. Now, take a look at these rocks. Believe it or not, these rocks are sculptured. They're made to look like the limestone you'd find in the jungle, but they're really formed of steel and cement and carved to look real.
The artists used trowels to make grooves and layers. Recognize this tool? It's a regular sponge used for wiping and smoothing.
Just like in the real rainforest, this jungle looks like it goes on forever.
Well, that's because the walls are a huge painting of the rainforest, which makes you think you're looking deep into the jungle. These artists studied photographs so they would be sure to use the right colors for the rainforest trees and rocks, and be able to create backgrounds that had a misty, foggy look to them.
But not everything in Jungle World is man-made. There are lots of trees and plants here that you'd find in the real rainforest.
You want to know how they got here? These palms were grown in tree nurseries and carefully shipped to Jungle World. They were unloaded and planted in specific spots where the trees would have enough light, warmth, and moisture to live.
Okay, lift away.
If you want to create a man-made jungle, you need to know plenty about the real thing.
And how do we know so much about the rainforest? From the scientists who go there to find out about it.
The rainforest is a place of vast mystery and beauty. It's home to more plants and animals than anywhere else on Earth. Some of them are really unusual. Just take a look at this three-toed sloth. In this rich green jungle, there are hundreds of thousands of secrets just waiting to be discovered. From all over the world, to learn and study, to test and probe. They label trees, identify insects, study the leaves that carpet the forest floor. They traipse through mud, glide through rivers, asking who lives here and why. The hardest places to reach often hide the most secrets. So scientists invent new ways to investigate. One way is to rise above the forest and travel in a hot air dirigible, or blimp. And that's just what this group of explorers is getting ready to do. A lightweight mesh raft will become a treetop laboratory when they reach their rainforest destination. The raft, big as a baseball diamond, has six main ribs connected by a strong fiber netting that runs all the way around. As the blimp gently cruises over the forest, the raft looks like a giant spider web spinning in the sky. There's mist and fog in the rainforest.
and landing the raft must be done with precision and care. The pilots decide on the best approach and descend. The raft settles right on the treetops, or forest canopy, the scientists have come to study. They undo the ropes and ties and set the raft free. The blimp will come back to pick them up after their exploration of the treetops is done. They're on their own. The raft nestles into a sea of green. First, the scientists have to figure out how to walk on the netting and how to best gather the plants and animals they want to study. And the researchers are often surprised to discover insects no one has ever seen before. The scientists work round the clock because at night, different insects and animals come out, like this tiny tree frog climbing on a fingertip. But the raft is not only the scientists' laboratory. They will sleep and eat here until the blimp returns to pick them up. The pilots get ready to make their approach. They catch sight of the raft and head on in, tossing out the lines that will secure the raft and lift it off the canopy. Although this research trip is over, the search for rainforest secrets has just begun. For the more we learn about this remarkable ecosystem, the better chance we have to help it survive.
You can see the world's natural treasures without trekking all over the earth. Just hike on down to your local library and safari through a good science book. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, my name is Andrew. A tropical rainforest is a fabulous place full of strange and unusual animals. It's too far away to visit, but I took a trip there by reading this book, The Great Kapok Tree. The man in the story wants to cut down the Great Kapok Tree. The trunk of the tree is so thick that the man has to rest from his chopping. The heat and sounds of the forest lull him to sleep. A boa constrictor comes and whispers in the man's ear, "Señor, this tree is a tree of miracles." Other animals come to whisper to the man, too. My favorite part of the book is when all the animals and the rainforest child come to tell the man how much the tree means to them. I guarantee you'll be fascinated by this story. It's like traveling to another world. You'll love it.
Imagine being a chipmunk. You're small, furry, and when you eat acorns, your cheeks puff up like balloons. Read all about it in this book, Chipmunk Song. It's fun pretending you're a chipmunk. You live under the trees, under the grass, and in holes in the ground. You make your bed out of leaves, and then hide your food under it. Do you see the acorns? That's what a chipmunk eats. One after another, they stuff them into their furry cheeks. Doesn't he look silly? I didn't know being a chipmunk could be so much fun. I'm Annie. And I just read this book, and I think that it's great.
Hopping, jumping, swimming, climbing. I love doing all that stuff. But you know who else likes those things? Amphibians and reptiles, like the ones in this book. Frogs, toads, lizards, and salamanders. When you see these animals scurrying by, you never stop to think, how does that animal survive another day? Well, here's a book that will tell you anything you need to know or want to know about these animals. I like salamanders, especially the hellbender. They are giant salamanders, and boy, are they ugly. A book like this will help you to understand and appreciate these animals. So the next time you see one of these creatures, have fun watching it, but don't try to catch it or take it home. Let it survive in its own home, the way nature planned it to be. My name is Noel Zimmerman, telling you to take care of our animal friends. And have a nice day.
Thanks to scientists who study the rainforest, we can create a jungle in a building, and everyone can come and experience it. Someday, maybe you'll be a scientist and bring the mysteries of nature one step closer to us all. I'll see you next time.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are The Salamander Room by Ann Mazur, illustrated by Steve Johnson, designed by Lou Fancher, published by Alfred A. Knopf.
The Great Kapok Tree, A Tale of the Amazon Rainforest by Lynn Cherry, published by Gulliver H.B.J. Chipmunk Song by Joanne Ryder, pictures by Lynn Cherry, published by Lodestar Books, an affiliate of Dutton Children's Books, a division of Penguin Books USA. Incorporated. Frogs, Toads, Lizards, and Salamanders by Nancy Winslow Parker and Joan Richards Wright. Illustrations by Nancy Winslow Parker. Published by Green Willow Books.